This is Strictly Sales with Jeff Hoffman and CC Bazaar. For more information, go to Overview Labs or mjhoffman.com.
Hi, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us today. Strictly Sales with Jeff Hoffman. Jeff is back, and we're here to talk to the sales managers this time.
Yes.
And we are getting lots of questions. We've done a bunch of podcasts recently geared right for the BDRs, but managers are starting to get wind of this. Their teams are talking, and now they have some questions, so we're here to answer them. One question that we get all the time, Jeff, is what should the interview process look like when I'm bringing in sales individuals or sales candidates, and what questions should I be asking them? Are there three that we can boil this down to, or is there a whole list that we need to look at?
Well, I think we can. I mean, I've been interviewing and hiring salespeople for a long time, and I think we all kind of know what we want as far as the vision of the profile of this hire. We all clearly know the importance of making good hire. But I have learned a few things on the interview process which have helped me, which I love to talk about. I will say this though, no matter how good you get at hiring, it's still a bit of a fool's pursuit. You're going to basically make a decision on a grand total of 30, 60, 90 minutes of interaction with someone. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think that great managers should be judged by how they hire. I think great managers should be judged with what they do with bad hires.
Yep.
I mean, that's really what you want to focus on. We'll make that another podcast maybe. But certainly the interview process, yeah, there are some things I care about, and I just wrote a blog about this. If you think about a stool and three legs of a stool, there are three things that I care greatly about when I'm looking for reps or I'm looking for people to work for me. In no particular order, I want them to be closers. That's critical to me. That's the one element of sales that reps – I need that skill at least already in that rep. I'm not saying that they can't be new or they can't be willing to learn or they don't have to be the most experienced closer, but closing has to be part of their DNA. That I need, because that's such an integral part to what we do. I also care greatly about intellectual curiosity. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Because my thinking is, if you want to be interesting, you have to be interested. And if I'm going to put a sales rep in front of a senior executive, they better be at a place where they feel comfortable in being ignorant on what they don't know about the world, but curious about the world, because that's so much of what we do is learning. So intellectual curiosity is a big part of me. And then the other thing that I look for people that have a history of achievement, a history of winning. Doesn't even have to be in sales. Winning and losing, or achieving and not achieving, I think these, like lots of things, are habits.
Yeah.
And if you've got the habit of losing, that's a really hard habit to break. But if you've got the habit of winning, that's also a hard habit to break. So I like people who have a long history of achieving things.
I think what happens, though, and this is where managers get kind of blindsided, is if you're hiring for sales, sometimes you get sold on a person, and maybe they're not the right person for the job. So what questions are you asking? You know, even if they're just a decent salesperson, maybe they're just really good at selling themselves.
That's
so
right.
How do you kind of vet that out?
You know, isn't that the rub? Because that's true. I mean, if they're good, they're going to be really good at the interview process.
Mm-hmm.
So I get fooled a lot during the interview process, and why wouldn't I be? This is their showcase.
Right.
So I do have some questions I like to ask.
Okay.
First of all, I never like to surprise candidates with questions.
Right.
I don't like to just hear the curveballs, because I don't really – maybe I'll have one little trick question or one kind of out-of-nowhere question to see how they handle something they've never heard before. But to have the entire interview be predicated on surprise – life isn't predicated on surprise. I'd much rather see how someone prepares. So I usually like to tell them the questions up front.
And I also think that takes the pressure off of you as a manager.
Mm.
If you're a smart manager, you're hiring, or you're at least interviewing all the time, right?
Yeah.
So rather than going into the interview every time and feeling like you have to wing it, you know exactly what you're doing, and you're probably cutting out a lot of time.
Yeah, and I don't have to talk.
Fill in the air, right?
I don't have to talk. I say, well, you know what you prepare. Let me hear
the
three answers.
Yeah.
I can just sit there and listen. So the first question I like is, I always like to have a sales rep come and sell me on why I should read a book he or she has just finished.
All right.
So I don't care what the book is. I don't care what the title, subject, anything. But there's a lot of things that are assumed in that question. One, that they've read something. That they've read something they think is worth reading. And they can articulate why it's worth reading to someone who's never read it before. And I'm going to hear a lot of stuff. I'm going to hear creativity. I'm going to hear what interests you. I'm going to hear what you learned. I'm going to hear why you read that book to begin with. And I'm also going to hear your persuasive techniques, because you're basically going to, I'm asking you, tell me why I should run out and buy this book and read
it. You're looking for the close there.
Absolutely. So this is a big place where I'm looking for closing. So I think that's a good place to start. I give them a couple of weeks. So if they aren't a reader, well, they got to read something in the next 2 weeks. But yeah, that's a big question. That's the question I like to ask is I like to ask for references. Now, that doesn't sound like a surprise, because I think we all ask for references. But I don't ask for typical references. I don't really want to talk to your previous employer or people that know you and tell you how good you are. Yep. That's what LinkedIn's for. I can get on LinkedIn in 30 seconds and call anybody I want to who's ever worked with you and ask them point blank, what do you think of this person, without you even knowing that I've contacted these people. What I would like to get from you is three references from customers that you've spoken to in the last 6 months. I don't care if they bought from you or not.
So is it customers that they've actually closed, or
doesn't
just
have to be
customers that
don't care?
Have to?
No, I don't want past. It has to be from the current place they work. They could be people who bought, they could be people who didn't buy, or they could be people still actively in a sales process. But I want to talk to three people you've spoken to on behalf of your company in the last 6 months. I don't care who they are.
Why?
Well, it's interesting, right? First, if you can get that list quickly, that speaks volumes. Because the rep who struggles with finding three, that's all I need to know. Also, they probably are going to work hard to impress me by bringing me people that will tell me how great they are. And since this process is about customers, not people you already know, that's taking a huge risk. So my guess is they're going to have to go, knowing 2 weeks ahead they have to bring these things to me, they're going to have to start working on the, like, wow, would you mind being a reference for me for a future job? That's a very vulnerable place for a sales rep to be. Can they get there? Because if they can get there, that's interesting to me. That's someone I might want to hire. That sounds like someone who really will be brave and courageous when it comes to building relationships.
Seriously. And I think it's also that person that is really good at maintaining. Because I think what happens is salespeople stop the minute the deal is signed.
Yeah.
And you have to keep going. Because these are every deal that you close is an investment in your career.
Absolutely right.
You got to keep that relationship moving forward.
Absolutely right. And then the third thing I like to ask them is I generally draw or have a representation of a funnel. And everyone, I'm sure, on the audience of this podcast knows what a funnel looks like, and with the classic sales stages represented from prospecting to discovery to qualification, trial, evaluation, proposal, close, whatever. And we have this big pyramid, and then I hand the whiteboard marker to the rep, and I say, will you please circle the part of the pipeline that you excel at, that when I hire you, I've just hired my best person at X. And then I have them circle it and tell me why. That's a little bit of a trick question, because I really don't care what your answer is, as long as it's not the middle. I don't want you to circle that you're great at meetings, or you're great at presentation, or you're great at building rapport, or you're great at relationship building, because everyone is good at that.
Absolutely.
I want to know where you're good where others aren't. I want to know that you're good at the early stages. I love cold calling. I love prospecting. I love networking. I love breaking into accounts. Or maybe it's at the end. I love negotiating. I love proposals. I love closing. If you show me either of the ends of that funnel as a place that you gravitate toward, you read a book that you found interesting enough to convince me I should read it, and you gave me the names of some people that you sold to over the last 6 months, you are very close to me hiring you. And it also weeds out so many candidates that can't provide those three things. Because by me telling them this 2 or 3 weeks before my interview, do you have any idea how many people bail?
I mean,
like over half.
Yeah.
So it just absolutely weeds out people who I don't want to hire.
And what happens if they come to the interview, Jeff, they nail everything? Are you offering them the job on the spot?
Absolutely.
People are probably hot commodities.
Bingo.
Right?
Bingo. So I don't bring people into interviews until I'm prepared to offer them a position.
So what do you do beforehand?
So I will make sure I've done what I need to do from an HR perspective in crafting an offer letter that'll sit in a folder or be in there for me. And I do not send offer letters. I have them read them in front of me, and I close them in front of me.
Interesting.
Read that and sign it. That's your offer letter. And sometimes we get a postponement, or sometimes they need to do some things, but I want to close them at this meeting. I want them to know I want you. Here's why I want you. I want you to sign today. I want to know that you're working here in 2 weeks. I want to know I filled my position with you.
And on the flip side of things, do you let them know, hey, this isn't going to work
yes.
out right here, right now?
Okay. I do. I tell them that immediately during the interview, and I'll tell them why. I'll say, well, thank you very much for coming in, and you should know I only have one position available, and I brought a lot of people in to look at this. I loved your answer around what you read. I didn't like your answer on what you're really good at in sales, and I don't like to hire people that are really good at the middle. And you couldn't give me those three names as I asked. So for that reason, I'm going to be looking for other candidates. But best of luck to you.
Yeah.
Break up right there. Don't it's not fair to people.
And if you need to know how to break up, check out our podcast on
Podcast 3.
Yeah.
We'll tell you how to break up with people. But I think it's cruel to have people leave those moments thinking there's something there when there isn't. Mm-hmm. I think when you let people leave, well, we'll let you know. I think when you say things like that, you're just trying to let yourself off the hook because you don't want to have a difficult conversation. Free them to find another opportunity.
No, I think this is great, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Again, and managers, keep those questions coming in.